Praise God. Let us just go into the word. Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that as we go into the word, our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and with precision. And at the end of today's panavos, keep a can deva shake tanabos, e for abatin and avosi, a procopotin avos, a potin and avos, ikatan avos, a fikapo, e procot a false upon the volcan. Yes, for you're one who is counting the days, the time, counting days, hours, seconds, minutes, weeks. Yeah, but God says to you this morning that you should allow the time to count. Yeah, pay more attention to God's word and pay more attention to what God has asked you to do in the days and weeks and months ahead. For you see, there are trials and tribulations all around us. There are trials and tribulations all around you. There are poski for kopakana navosi for kopore de devosi pakonana ishoka tekina vos ikapo interfora poketena navosokita. Yeah, it seems like the cloud is all dark. It looks like the cloud is all dark no matter the time of the day. But guess what? There is God on your inside. There is God on your inside. There are words that God has given unto you as instructions. Pay attention to that. Yeah, pay attention to that. For you see, that will make you weather through the storm. That will make you weather through the storm. Apostle for kapo nenda vosh ikata in the navosi I proko davosi kepara vadoshke da kapo da in navosi. Yeah, God's word never fails. God's word never fails. Yeah, you say in your heart, I've tried it once, I've tried it twice, I've tried it 20 times. But you see what? Even if you tried 1,000 times, yeah, the truth is that God's word never fails. God's word never fails. It's infallible. Yeah, do well to pay more attention to that, for that is victory in itself. Do well to pay more attention in a trying world, in a world full of great tribulation. Do well to pay more attention to God's word, for you see, that is what will make you weather through the storm. For you see, in days and months to come, you will see that there's victory on your side. Now, what will shock you is the fact that you think that the victory just came. But no, the victory is with the word. The victory has always been in the word, from the word, by the word, through the word. Pay attention to God's word, for in that, you see, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. Hallelujah. As we go into God's word, our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion. At the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But on this series, we started in November. You know, and the series is generosity, God's divine plan. Yeah, God's divine plan. We have been able to understand through time that, you know, generosity has been God's plan, or it is God's plan. It is well taught in the epistles. It's well taught. So if we are going to be a New Testament church, yeah, we have to make sure that we give ourselves to what? Listening to what the New Testament teaches. See, we're going to give ourselves to the New Testament teaching. So in summary, we've been able to explain in this series about tithing. Is that true? Have we done hours upon hours about tithing? Yeah. And what did you say about tithing? It was a means or a mode of communicating God's truth about his eternal plan. We explained Malachi 3. Is that true? Bringing the tithing storehouse. And who was that pointing to? Christ Jesus. So we've explained tithing. We've put, you know, we've tried to put full stops there and here and there and commas everywhere around tithing. There might be a few other things, you know, we need to touch, but not for now. We've explained first fruits. Is that true? Have we explained first fruits? Yes, yeah, so we've explained first fruit to be what? A teaching in New Testament books about Christ and we. Are we together? The first begotten from the dead, you know, he has put a template for us how we're going to resurrect from the dead. We've explained them seed sowing. Yeah? And we've explained sowing and what seed sowing was used to teach in scriptures and what seed was used to teach in scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10. He who ministers the seed also ministers bread for your food. Yes, yeah, so we've eaten of God's seed, we've eaten of God's bread. Who is the person we ate? Jesus Christ. Yeah, how did we eat him? By believing the gospel. Yeah, so we've gone through scriptures to explain Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Yeah, who is that? Christ. Yeah, the seed of David. Yeah, who is that? Christ Jesus. The seed of Abraham. Go out, count the stars, and as much as they are, so shall your seed be. Galatians explained that to be what? The seed as of a person, not many. So Christ Jesus is the seed. So the seed of Genesis 3:15 is equal to the seed of Genesis chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, Abraham. Genesis is equal to the seed of David, and it's equal to the seed of Luke, you know, which is Jesus, which is equal to the bread that was provided in the book of Exodus. Is that true? Exodus. The bread that Moses fed the people with was a pointer to the bread that God will feed us with. Now, God has filled us with his bread. Yeah, he has given us our daily bread. What's daily bread? Everlasting bread, eternal bread. Who is the bread he gave us? Jesus says, I'm the bread of heaven. Jesus says, I'm the bread of God. I'm the bread of life. Yeah, so we've eaten God's bread, which is Jesus. We've eaten God's seed, which is Jesus. And by that, we have a default ability to give ourselves generously, to give of our things generously. Hallelujah. So we paid attention to these things. Then in the last 3 weeks, we paid attention to the minister and what? Double honor. Is that true? Yeah, we paid attention to the minister. And we saw examples in scriptures. We saw some examples in scriptures that I just want us to, you know, pay attention to again today as we, you know, go into certain things. So we've established that there is nothing called a Christian profession. What do I mean? Yeah, there's nothing called a gospel comedian. That's one of the jokes of the century. Yeah, there's nothing called I'm a gospel actor. Well, you are acting, you are acting. Understand? If you are doing comedy, you are doing comedy. You don't need to put gospel in front. Yeah. So even if you call yourself a gospel actor, in the real sense, it is not a calling upon resurrection. Are we together? Yeah, it is not a calling upon resurrection. You can choose to act. But what I mean is that there is no gospel doctor. Do you understand? There's nobody who God has called to be a doctor for the gospel's sake. Yeah? Are we together? Yeah? You are a doctor who chose to study doctrine or medicine. You are a Christian who chose to study medicine. Did you get that? Yeah, you are a Christian. So no matter where you find yourself, you are first a Christian. And we saw examples in scriptures. You look at the book of Acts chapter 18 verse 1 to 3. Look at verse 2 quickly. Acts 18 verse 2. Thank you. Acts 18:2. Let's just run through some of these scriptures. Acts 18:2. And Paul, yes, this Paul, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, you know, and all of that. Verse 3. And because he was of the same craft, so Paul was of the same craft with Aquila and Priscilla. Have we explained that in church? Yeah, beautiful. What was their craft? For by their occupation, they were tent makers. So was Paul a tent maker? Did Paul call himself a gospel tent maker? Did Paul call tent making his ministry? Are we together? Yeah, look at verse 20, chapter 20, verse 33. See why Paul did that. Look at why Paul did that. 20, verse 33. He says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. What does that mean? It means that Paul labored with his hands. Yeah, Brother, I will please help you with this screen. Yeah, it means that Paul labored with his hands. Yeah, he did not by covetousness collect things from the saints. Look at verse 34. Verse 34, he says, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities. Yeah, my hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that are with me. What is my hands have ministered to my necessity? It means that Paul, using his hands to be a tent maker, yeah, was able to meet his needs and the needs of those that were beside or with him. So Paul used tent making as an occupation, as a profession to meet his necessities. Why did he do that? I have shown you, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Yeah, I have showed you all things. What does it mean to show? We've taught that severally. What does it mean that I have showed you all things? I have given you an example evidently put forth to you for you to see and learn from. So was Paul in ministry? Was Paul in ministry? Was Paul in the business world? Did they clash? Who wrote more books in the Bible? Paul. Did his tent making clash with his ministry? So it means that even though you are sent into the market square, you are actually supposed to be one who is in the market square and must not forget you are one who is called into ministry. Are we together? Are we together? Look at John 31 verse 3. John 21 verse 2. Yeah, so there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. We were able to establish last week that these people here were business partners. What was their business? Verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. So they were fishermen. Did you see any place where Peter said, God has called me into the fishing industry? Did you see Peter call that his ministry? What did Peter say about a minister in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1? The elders which are amongst you, I exhort you. So he's speaking to the elders. Let the elders feed the flock of God which is amongst you, taking oversight of them, not by constraint but willingly, not of futile lucre, but of ready mind. Verse 3. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. So Paul was saying that I have showed an example to the flock. Acts 20. So Paul was in ministry, labored with his hand as a tent maker, and in doing that, he was showing an example that is doable. You see, the lot of us who are pastors today, who claim that you cannot do business outside the world and do church, you are exalting yourself about who you are. We don't see such examples in scriptures. Peter says, be an example. Paul says, be an example. All together, look at Jesus. Mark 6. Mark 6:3. If the pastor can know the example he is to give, and the saints know the double honor they are to count him worthy, you know, we have had a New Testament church. Yeah, the New Testament teaches that a pastor must walk. What I mean walk? New Testament doesn't specify walk, but a pastor must have a source of income. What did they say about Jesus? Is this not the carpenter? Is this not the carpenter? See, if they have said, is this not the carpenter's son? You would have said carpentry was his father's what? Occupation. Is this not the carpenter? That is Jesus. Who is busier than Jesus? So Jesus, in his being busy, he went out to go and what? Labor. Let me say, I'm not busier than Jesus. If you are busy, I don't see it. Now, let me ask a question. All these things they did not affect ministry. Right? If it affected ministry, you will not read what you're reading today. How about together? Paul, even yet when he was in the prison, he still wrote letters. Let's see a few more examples of people. Now, do you know Matthew? Who was Matthew? Tax collector, right? Is that a profession? Did you see any of them that Jesus met? After Jesus met them, they dropped all their profession. We showed you in John 21 verse 3. Where we just showed us, yeah, right? What did we see in John 21 verse 3? Look at John 20. John 20 verse 1. The first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Whose sepulchre was that? Jesus, right? What book are we reading? John chapter. Did John 20 come before John 21? Yes, so John 20 is before John 21. Right, you know, I used to ask tricky questions. If you are not careful, you just jump. you just stay inside it. You know, yeah. So John 20 came before John 21. Yeah. So it means that John 21, when Jesus said, "I'm going to fish," it means that when Peter said, "I'm going a fishing," it means that at that time Jesus was already resurrected. So for Jesus, see, look at it. For Peter to say, "I go a fishing after resurrection," it means that even while he was doing ministry with Jesus, he was fishing. Are we together? Yeah, did that affect his ministry? No. What is we have left all that Peter taught in scriptures, that we taught from Peter in scripture last week? Yeah, he has placed priority on the work of ministry over every other work. Hallelujah. You see, when we look at the example, except you're not a New Testament church. Yeah? Yeah? So, everyone on Paul's team, they were all laboring. They were all working. Yeah? Titus, Silas, Barnabas, and so. Let's see a few examples. Look at Acts 4. Acts 4:36. And Joseph, who was by the apostle, was surnamed Barnabas. Now, do you think Barnabas was on the team of Paul? You know, if you read your scriptures very well, you see that Barnabas was on the same team with Paul. Like he was with Paul. Yeah. What did Paul do? What did Barnabas do? A son of consolation. Yeah. A son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country Cyprus. Look at 35. Okay, no, I think that should be 37. Is there a next verse after this? 37, right? Give me 37. Having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, how do you think Barnabas had land? The grace of God. How do you think Barnabas had land for him to have land and sell? Let me tell you, see, at this time, it's not as if everybody had their land to themselves. You bought land just like today. It's just like us just looking up one morning and say, Abuja is my city, I'm from Abuja. Where's my own land? Where's my own land? Federal government, they need to share the land equally. If they share land equally in Abuja to everybody, even Main Road will be land of some people. Imagine everybody in Nigeria has land. How do you want to measure the land? Yeah, so for him to have had land and he sold it and brought the money to the apostles. So I want to believe that this narrative is an example of, oh, you come to church and see that there are needs. Yeah, and you go back home and remember that, oh, you have so many properties. And you pick one of the properties and you sell it. And you brought it to the apostles' feet. The property you sold is not some, maybe you inherited it. They see that. But most likely, you see that Barnabas was one who was into work. Look at Colossians quickly. Labor in the market square. Look at Colossians 4 verse 14. Who was Luke? Verse 14. Let's read together. What did Paul make you see there? Did Paul say Luke, who was a beloved physician? So it means that when Jesus met Luke, he was most likely a doctor. While Luke was working with Jesus, he was still a doctor. After Colossians, is that after resurrection? After resurrection, what was Luke still doing? He was a who? A doctor. Did that affect Luke's ministry? Who wrote the book of Acts? Who wrote the book of Luke? What book have you written? And the book of Esther. You do yourself there. What book am I written? Who am I? Are we together? So Luke was a doctor. Yeah. So he was a doctor. Yeah. So he was a minister of the gospel who was a doctor. Is it God that, look at it. You see, the narrative some of us pushing. Is it God that made Luke choose doctoring? See, is it when Jesus met Luke, he became a doctor? What was Luke doing when Jesus met him? He was into the medical field already. What did he do after Jesus met him? He continued. What did he do after Jesus died and resurrected? He continued. Yet he wrote the book of Luke. Yet he wrote the book of Acts. And he was a doctor. Look at Philippians 1:24. So let me show you an example. Remember, you must never allow your work outside take more priority over the ministry of the gospel. Is that true? But can a man do both? Yes, so. Philemon 1 verse 24. Philemon 1 verse 24. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Was Demas a fellow laborer? Who wrote the book of Philemon? Who wrote the book of Philemon? Was Demas a fellow laborer with Paul? Was he a fellow laborer? What did Paul say about the same Demas? Do you remember that teaching? Yeah, look at 2 Timothy 4:10. Look at 2 Timothy 4:10. So Demas, a fellow laborer with Paul, see what Paul says about the same Demas. He says what? For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. What does that mean? He went after material things more than things that are spiritual. Yeah? So what is Paul teaching? You can be a minister of the gospel that has a balance in the economic world, in the business world. What did Demas do? Demas said, it's not easy. What did he do? He left ministry and did what? Continued what? He forsook Paul and continued what? Having loved this present world. Glory to God. Look at Romans 16:23. Romans 16:23, quickly. It says, Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus the chambelian, yeah, of the city saluted you. Who is the chamberlain? Chamberlain. Yeah? Minister of finance. Like I would say, treasurer. Yeah? So, was he part of the people that labored with Paul? He had a sense of labor with Paul. Yet, he was one who was what? Busy as a what? Treasurer of the city. You see, that profession is similar to the to what you call... Look at Genesis. Genesis. Same thing Potiphar was doing. More like Potiphar was doing. Genesis 37 verse 36. Genesis 37 verse 36. Yeah, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar. Yeah, so unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's. Yeah, and the captain of the guard. Yeah, that's similar to that word chamberlain you see in Romans 6. Yeah, just like a high-ranking official. So we've seen that a man's profession is based on his decision. A man's profession is based on his decision. So, if you like photography, for instance, photography is not a call. You know, people can be interested. I've seen people say that, you know, my ministry is photography. You've not seen people. So, when you ask them, so please, how do you, what do you do with that photo, with that camera? How do you, altogether. So your profession is your choice. Yeah. So as a minister of the gospel, whatever you would do as a source of income, as long as it's legitimate, is your choice. Is your decision. Is your decision. Glory to God. Now, did you see Paul doing a teaching on how to become a treasurer? Did you see Paul doing a teaching on how to become a tent maker? Did you see Peter did a class on fishing? Master class. My sister said master class. Master class of fishing. You know, it's one of the things we're supposed to do today. You know, master class. The joke is on us. When you want to... when you go to the school, your pastor, your lecturer doesn't open his Bible. He used the textbook in the school. When you come to church, one that is teaching you is using the textbook of your lecturer. Is that a misplaced priority? Eh? Is that a misplaced priority? So you don't see Paul, you don't see any of these people, you know, kingdom takeover. A Christian doesn't have to be the control, the president of a country. Are we together? You don't need a Christian to be in power before a country flourishes. Dubai has flawed that theory. Are we together? China, India, they flawed those theories. So when the righteous are empowered, the people rejoice. Who is in power? It's so shameful. You hear people. Did you hear the prophecy of people saying that our president will not live to finish the first term? That God placed the second man there so that when he dies, he will take over. So Christian will be in power. Very interesting. Very interesting. God doesn't send people into politics. Are we together? God doesn't send a man into politics. If you want to be a politician, go and be a politician. See, you don't have to prophesy about the next governor. Do you understand? You don't have to prophesy about the next president. You see, Paul is leaving Athens, go to Corinth. You see, I see the next. We don't see that in scriptures. One said he was a pastor. God called him to be president. He has been campaigning for over 15 years that I know. That is long suffering. They are struggling. See, that's not long suffering, no. That's being very. See, look at it. If somebody tells you tomorrow, I see, you know, I told the one man was met. You met me in one church in this Abuja. He said, I see you creating a party for the young people. God wants to use it as a voice. When somebody gives you a prophecy that you're going to be a president, you ask him, president of what? There's president of what association? There's president of an alumni of your school. Be sure. He said, I see you lifting a flag. I have to close my eyes. let me not finish from what I'm saying. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as a believer, you are one who has found himself in the what? World. To make money, you make money by labor. Do miracles happen? Yes, I believe in miracles. I see miracles. Yeah, we all see miracles. Yeah, but the truth is that you don't become wealthy by being a Christian. Are we together? We've seen in scriptures the example of what? Macedonian churches that were in deep poverty. Hallelujah. So wherever you find yourself, you are one who will see yourself as well. So you find yourself in the engineering world. You are one who is a minister that is practicing engineering. But what must be for, what are the fundamental at your foreknowledge is that what? You are a minister of God's kingdom. Glory to God. So, your faith, that is your religious, yeah, should be seen as what you express in the financial or market world. Let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in the Bible who got rich by faith? Mention one person in the book of Matthew to Revelation that got rich by faith. One. It's difficult to see. Did they all have faith? How was their faith manifested? The way they expressed or their conduct amidst what? The general word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Next month, we're dealing with a series on belief. Today is the last Sunday of the month. Is that true? Next month, we're dealing with a series on believers. Come again? Okay, today is the last day. Happy New Month. I'll deal with a series on believers' conduct next month. You know, how do we conduct ourselves even though we have to make it in life? You know what I mean by make it in life? I mean, you have to have money. Is it good to have money? It's good though. It's good though. Money, you know, somebody says something. It's a proverb. It says, money stops nonsense. The money stops nonsense. All right, together. You know, so it's good to have money, but you know, money must not have you. All together, it's good to have money. It's like if you want to be a millionaire by any means, but you must realize that. But you must not be a Demas. All together, you must not be a Demas. It's easy to be a Demas. Yeah, it's easy to be a Demas. You just forget gospel. Every service time is when you are in a meeting. It's as if you program your meeting to service time. Every service time you are in a meeting, you are. Are going, you don't know. Demas is calling you, you are pushing. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For ye remember Paul saying, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of Christ. What is he saying? Paul did ministry day and night. Paul labored day and night. What do you suppose Paul's laboring day and night in the market world would be? It would mean that there are some projects they will give him to do. He won't finish it in the day if he do it at night. Is that true? Yeah, when you find Paul in Corinthians, remember we showed an example of how Paul every day. We can have church every day and go to work every day. Are we together? Are we together? See, you must make up your mind to understand that you can balance yourself. See, as I always say something, I'll say a lot of these things next month. Yeah, if you need to delete social media, please do. If you need to delete social media, please do. See, don't be one known, even WhatsApp. People that want to, there are some of you that you want to reach out to. And they're not on WhatsApp. What did you do? You call them. What did you send them text message? So even you, if you're not on WhatsApp, nobody will die. Do you understand? Don't be one known for always viewing status. So for instance, I know that if I post, for instance, Branoso, at least if I don't have any view, I have one view. Don't be known. I'm not saying that what you don't. Don't be one known for viewing. Don't be one known for, if you post on Instagram, it's still showing 1 minute ago, your name is on the like. It's still showing 1 minute ago, they posted it to, you have double tapped. No. Don't act like who is jobless. Yeah, there is work to be done. Even though we are not meeting every day, you can have meetings with yourself every day. That's why we're in a better time where technology makes messages available. Are we together? For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for labor night and day. Why? Because we will not be chargeable to any of you. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Look at verse 10 first. Verse 10. Ye are witness and God also, how holily and justly and unblameable we behaved ourselves amongst you that believe. What is that behaving amongst you that believe? Their conduct, the way they express what? Business work and the way they express ministerial work. See what Paul now says in 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. Please pay attention to this. Now we command you, brethren, Are we together? We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord. See, when you see someone start commanding you in the name, it's almost similar to when you're casting out demon. Rabbi? Yes, I command in the name of Jesus. So you need to pay attention. No? Yeah? I command you, brethren, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which we have received. Of who? Us. Remember, traditions with practices and conducts or things that are passed on to generation, yeah, to be passed on to generation. An example is doctrine. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, these things you've heard of me, commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What did Paul say? Paul says, withdraw yourselves from every brother. So this service now, we'll see some people we should withdraw ourselves from. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. What is the walking disorder? Look at verse 7. For yourselves, you know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly amongst you. What is disorderly behaving? Look at verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. But we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. So it means that one who doesn't walk night and day with labor is one walking disorderly. Did you get that? Did you get that? What did Paul say you should do to such? Withdraw yourself. Follow. He says, neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians? The same thing. That we might not be chargeable to any of you, we will labor night and day. Look at verse 9. Not because we have not power. What do you think he's talking about, not because we have not power? He could have said, do not muscle the ox that feed it not, and be sleeping in the office. Is that not true? He could have said that I'm sleeping in the office. Not because we are not bad, but to make ourselves as an example unto you to follow us. Look at verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. How did we start reading verse 6? Now I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? When we were with you, this is what we commanded you. Please, let's read that part together. Did Paul include himself? Did Paul include himself? So it means that Paul is somehow teaching that the man you should even count worthy of double honor must show you an example that is walking. Did you see that? That if any would not walk, did he say that if any congregation, did he say that if any, to bracket minus pastors, if any would not walk? So what do you suppose that those were walking disorderly were doing? They were not walking, yet they wanted to eat. Is the saint to know to give the pastor double honor? Is the pastor to walk? Look at verse 11. For we hear that there be some which walk among... Can you see how he kept talking disorderly? You see how he kept saying disorderly? See, that the word disorderly in that context, actually, touche. It's touche for what I would have said if I was writing that letter. For we hear that... So Paul is saying, I hear that there are some of you. Eh? They are not working at all. When you don't work at all, what do? You are a busybody. I hear that they be, excuse me, working not at all, but they are busybodies. Look at verse 12. Now them that are such, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says it again. We command and exhort you. So now I come out, we say an exhortation. I like Paul. Yeah, we command and exhort you by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. So fundamentally, a pastor is to eat his own bread. A pastor, we've taught that explicitly this month. A pastor is to be one who should see himself as an additional blessing to the saints in reference to material giving. Are we together? A pastor is not one who's supposed to come out and just, if you don't pay that money to my account next week, I'm not coming here. I'm not coming. Telling me you lead prayer, bruh. No, so next week, you're ready for the word. As for me, you are muscling the ox that threshed out the corn. What did Paul say? He said, what I exhort you that work. See what Paul now says in verse 13. Please follow. Look at verse 13. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. What will be well doing? Let him that works eat your own bread. What is the well doing? Walking to labor with your hands. Look at verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, Does that extend to you? If any man obeys not my word in this episode, not that man, and have no company. Now, see, that's why, you know, that's why you see people. Some people are very funny and interesting. And that's not what I'm trying to say. But some people are very funny and interesting. I have a grace for money. You have a grace for money, yet in Abuja, I don't know you. Talk more of Nigeria. You have a grace. There's nothing like oil for money. There's nothing like I'm anointed for financial food. Doesn't make any sense. Even you that you're talking. You see, a lot of times as pastors, we lie to you people. There's no point lying. You have a grace for oil, yet you have estate everywhere that you're selling. You have people are giving you rent every month. Eh? You are doing forex. And you come to lie to people that you have a grace for money. Let me not lie to you. Let me tell you something. The easiest person that can get money from any of you in this church is me. Is that a lie? I can appeal to your conscience to see that I'm sweating. And you drop something for me. You cannot do that. Abi, you can do that. Let me be sure. You cannot do that. So by default, people will honor me and give me money. It will be wrong for me to lord that thing over you, to make you feel like it's because there's something special about you. The only thing special about you is because I'm the one holding the mic in front. Not like God anointed me specially for me. You know, people say they have the magnet to draw money. And they know how to give those examples. As I was flying, I was at the airport, and some family came to meet me. And when they met me, you know, I just decree and turn their life. Can a pastor decree and things will change around for you? Yes. No, you must not. You know, like I was saying, yes, now. Can't a fellow believer look at you and give a word of knowledge about something that will help your financial state? Yeah, I call it financial state. Because it's a state. Yes. But, you know, money must not be the goal or the push behind the things we do for God. What did Paul say? If any man obeys not what we are saying, note that man, have no complaint with him, that he may be ashamed. He now says something. He says, don't treat him as an enemy, verse 15. Treat him as one of a brother. Yet, count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. What is the reason? So, remember that scripture in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5. Deliver such a one unto Satan for destruction of the flesh. He's not saying, go and this is your property. No. Yeah, the reason is so that what? He can be ashamed. You know, but in those days, they have conscience. Yes, now, you know, it was in those days, if this is Paul's garden right now, we want to put Bashego aside. Bashego will still stay aside there, and he'll be feeling ashamed, and that will correct his mind to want to come and join. But now, day to day, what happens? Yes, now. If you correct, even some of us are still laughing. A day will come, I'll correct. No, it's the truth. A day will come, I'll correct you. Get away from here, you're the only one that gargoyle called. Come, I will. Some people will be their pastors. It starts from there. That's sometimes when you want to scold, I have to stand back. Because I don't know what we, so that in case you, the only thing I'll feel is your breeze. Look at it. Let me ask you a question. This thing I'm saying looks like a joke. We'll pay more attention to this next month. It looks like a joke. For Paul to say, not him, it means that everybody will know him. Even if you don't, if you're a new member, and you come to church, and you see, imagine. Okay, you are newer. You don't know that brother. If you come to church and see Brashego standing beside the AC, I just do like this. The person that brought me to us, that brother, who is he? Because you know that this is the main door. This is not the main door. He's standing towards the door that is not the main door. The main door, nobody is standing there. You ask questions. But what did Paul say? He's still a brother. He's still a brother. You must consider him as a brother. But in doing that, what was he correcting in 1 Corinthians? He said there was a fornication, type of fornication that was not even found among the Gentiles, yet it's found among the saints. So when he says, deliver such a one to the brethren for a destruction of the flesh, is that when he stands there, he recognizes that all he did or what he's doing or what he did is wrong. In that, his conscience is seared, his conscience is being pruned, and he begins to what? Realize his way. When you recently knew, there's nothing wrong with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yet count him as a brother. But anyone who doesn't obey, what do you do to them? You note them. So the day you see me stop working and say I'm doing full-time ministry, what I'm doing now, is it half-time ministry? What I'm doing now, is it half-time ministry? It's not full-time ministry I'm doing. Let me ask you, maybe I'm still new. What was Paul doing? Was he not doing full-time ministry? Was he a laborer? So we've seen examples in the scriptures. Paul labored with his hands. Yet he was a mighty minister of the gospel. Is that true? Is that true? Let's answer. Yes. Jesus labored with his hands. Yet he was a mighty minister of the gospel. Is that true? Luke labored with his hands. Was a mighty minister of the gospel. Is that true? Matthew labored with his hand. Was a mighty minister of the gospel. Did Peter labor with his hand? Was he a mighty minister of the gospel? Another example, who again? Eh? Ananias. Ananias, yeah? Aquila, sorry. Aquila and Priscilla, were they laborers of the gospel? Were they ministers of the gospel? So you can do ministry 100% full-time and walk in the market square. Yeah? What are the saints amongst, what are the saints to know about the elders who rule? You count them worthy of double honor. What is the pastor to do? Work. Labor. Are we together? So, in the real sense, how do you know? So if the same Paul that taught about giving to pastors double honor, yet the same Paul taught about meeting the needs of others. You see the circle. A pastor is not to be one who takes from the double honor people give him and becomes wealthy. Did you get that? If I want to be wealthy as a pastor, how should I be? I should go out there and go and work. Yeah? The moment I'm getting wealthy because you are giving me and not abounding to the riches of liberality in me. Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir.
So the more you give, so if you are a minister anywhere tomorrow, the more they give to you, the more you give back. Let it be known to you that this one says, oh, Pastor Joshua is very rich. Oh. Yeah? You must be able to know that Pastor Joshua is rich because he's working somewhere. Not because you all are giving to Pastor Joshua. Why? Because in your giving, in my working, I am bound to the riches of liberty in me and meet the needs of others in the church. Like we always say, not every Christian can be rich. Let's pay attention to Jesus on wealth before we round up this. Look at 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What does it mean to be without controversy? It means without dispute. Yeah? With the consent of all. Without dissent. Yeah? So, there's an agreement amongst the saints that what? God was manifest in the flesh. Without controversy, God was manifest in the flesh. So, Christ revealed to mankind, yeah, is God revealing himself to mankind. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Yeah? God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up into glory. So we see the power of God seen as in demonstration of becoming flesh. Look at Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16, quickly. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, it is the power of God. So we see that God's power is made manifested or is seen. How do we see God's power? Sorry. In the manifestation of salvation. Are we together? Are we together? So the power of God is seen in the provision of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Hallelujah. Look at John 1:14. John 1:14, quickly. John 1:14. So, and the word was made flesh. Yeah, and dwelt amongst us. What did he call the word in verse 1, 2, 3? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So it means that if we want to correct our lens concerning who God really is, we see that through the person of Jesus. Let me now say this. You know, sometimes a lot of courses are very interesting. Let me now say this. What I want to say, let's keep going. I'll say it. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So, it means, look, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts. Let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So, the image of God is Christ, right? Right? Image of God is Christ Jesus. Yeah? So, it means that when we want to look for who God is, who do we look for? Christ. So it means that a lot of things that people said God did in the Old Testament books, how do we correct those things? We look at Christ. We look at Christ. Right? We look at Christ. Let me not say it here again. Now, we saw last week or 2 weeks ago that what? The miracles that Moses did, were they more than the ones Jesus did? Yeah? Physically speaking, the miracles that Moses did were more than the ones Jesus did. Yeah, but what did Moses say? Show me your what? Glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. So when Moses was saying, show me your glory, who was he actually asking for? Christ Jesus. Yeah, so Christ is the full expression. Look at Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 2. God hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. So when Moses says, show me your glory, who is he speaking about? Christ Jesus. So who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. When Moses thought about the God created man in his own image, who was he speaking about? Yeah, we've explained that over and over. So Christ is the full expression of God's glory, and Christ is the image of God made manifest to what? Mankind. Hallelujah. Look at Isaiah 9 verse 6. Or look at Luke 12. So it means that, look at Luke 12. Yeah, look at Luke 12. Or look at Isaiah 9 6. Sorry. Look at Isaiah 9 6. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Glory, glory, glory. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Is that speaking about Jesus? Yeah, please follow, please follow. I want to try and round up a few things. Is that it speaking about Jesus? Yeah, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Is that Jesus? Is that government Asovilla? Yeah, what is the government? The government of his peace. Are we together? The government of his resurrection. Yeah, there is no physical government on the shoulder of Jesus. Yeah, for unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government of God is not found in any country. USA is not the will of God. The will of God is Christ Jesus. Yeah, the nation of God is Christ Jesus. Yet the Holy Jerusalem is found in Christ Jesus. That's the city of the living God. Not US, not UK, not Egypt. Not Spain, not Dubai. The will of God is found in Christ. So we have men. US is not God's will to save the earth. We have people who are in US who are what? A part of God's city. To be a part of God's city, you are a Christian. Are we together? Are we together? If God is involved in politics, nobody who has not believed the gospel should be a president. What is president? Chairman. Local government chairman. Since that's God's instruction to everybody. Yeah, the government of God is on his shoulder. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God. So is Jesus the Mighty God? Yeah, the Everlasting Father. Is that Jesus? So it means that Jesus is the expression of God to mankind. If you have questions about God, who do you look at? Jesus. Did Jesus make one person on earth rich when he came? Did God make anybody on earth rich before Jesus came? Let me leave that question open. Okay, if you say yes, give me a name. Solomon. Eh? Solomon, right? Solomon. Abraham. Isaac and Jacob. Okay. Solomon, right? Solomon is the first person that will come to your mind. Do you know Solomon is one of the worst kings that Israel has had? Someone that had how many wives? You don't think that the parents of those girls were paying tax to him? Has God blessed man to be prosperous? How did God do that? By putting a system on earth. Yeah? Is there anybody that you see in the Bible who just woke up and become wealthy? Now I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Think about it. By very sincere to ourselves. For everybody you say God prospers, you see a business they were doing. Do you understand? For every one person you see God prospered, even in our day to day, the only way you can tell me you are prosperous by God and I believe you, eh? And I will believe you. You show me that you just wake up every morning and you are praying. Oh, definitely, there are pastors who will say they are prosperous by that. Have you? Like I've explained earlier before. I can coerce you to give me. I become prosperous. I'm saying a man. Dangote is prosperous by the grace of God, but Elon Musk too. Is he prosperous by the grace of God? Does God prosper people? Show me one person Jesus prospered. Who expresses who the wrong notions we've had about? Think about it. Does God prosper people? You say yes. Has God prospered you? Does God prosper people? Yes. Has God prospered you? No. Why?
He's taking his time. Patient.
Look at it. See, you know, there are some things we say if we are not careful. We are attributing some things that are not to God to God. For God to prosper you and not prosper me means that God is partial. The only thing that will make God a very balanced God is that what he gives to you, he gives to me. What has he given to you? He has given to me. He's balanced. He has made all of us prosperous. Does God prosper materially? If you say yes, if you say no, okay, if you say yes, who has it prospered? You? You say no. Why has he not prospered you? Why did he prosper me and not prosper you? God has made you prosperous. How did he make you prosperous? By creating a system on earth that if you can harness or you can tap into, you will become wealthy. Are we together? Are we together? Am I saying don't pray for your needs to be met? No. If you hear that, then you're not hearing well. Are we together? Can you pray for your needs to be met? You can pray for your needs to be met. Are we together? Yeah. But you must see that results are not proofs that, or results do not validate why you should pray. You have to be a man of prayer and pray always. Yeah. So Jesus came and gave us a clarity on who God is. Yeah. You need to show me one person who Jesus just saw and say, you, as you've honored me today, you are prosperous. If you can show me one example, and show me one example of Paul and Peter. Are we together? In the entire New Testament books, right? Do you suppose that the disciples and the apostles were praying for their needs to be met materially? If you are sincere with yourself, okay, let me say, in the scriptures, do you see the apostles? The church is quiet now. Yeah, I'm trying to treat a very serious topic. Do you see the apostles praying for their needs to be met in the entire Matthew to Revelation? Were their needs met? How do you suppose their needs were met? They were being taught properly. Are we together? So it is in their being taught properly that others are bounded to the riches of liberty. Even yet they were poor, they were given. When Agabus saw that there was going to be a problem in the future, what did he do? They gathered themselves. Did they do crusade? Yeah. You see, you must. You know, some people will come and ask me a question after service. I said, Pastor, are you saying we should not pray for any other thing apart from the gospel? For you to hear that, you are interesting. Keep praying. Be a man of prayer. Are we together? When you have challenges, pray. All right, do you pray? Yeah. What should stop you? The problem with it is that a lot of times people only pray when they have challenges. So once a result comes to their what they were praying for and is evident to be seen, they reduce their prayer life. Do you understand what I just said? So I'm praying for a job. And you're praying every Monday to Friday, every Monday to Friday, every day. Yeah, and the job comes, you reduce your prayer. Why? Because you've seen prayer as a means to an end. Yeah, the blessedness of prayer is in the fact that a man obeys scriptures and prays. Yeah, if you have challenges, can you pray? Yes, you should pray because you're a man of prayer. Are we there? Yeah, so what prayer should find you doing is that both in challenges, out of challenges, you are still a man of prayer. Yeah, I won't lie to you, most people pray only when there are challenges. Yeah, so now, do you see one person who met Jesus and said, Master, I'm sick, heal me? Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Did Jesus heal? Yeah. Did you see one person say, Pastor, Master, I'm poor, help me? Is it in the Bible? So Jesus is the one who reveals God to mankind. What did God do? God blessed the earth for your sake. What is the blessed the earth for your sake? He allowed a system to be invoked. The reason why not everybody can be rich is that covetousness is in the hearts of people. Yeah, those who will be stingy to their money and those who will give, they are not on the same proportion. That's how we teach about topics like this in church. When you have challenges, you pray. When you don't have challenges, you pray. You are a man of prayer. Altogether, let me give you a simple example. Can you go to a physics school right now? What did you study? Engineering, okay. Can you go to a law school? Yeah, yes, you study law, right? Can you go to a school where they are teaching law? Go to law school. Can you go to that class and sit down and listen to the lecturer for 3 months or 1 year and read your book and pass? It's not hard to answer. You have brain now. Yeah, you have a head, you have eyes, you have everything you can see. Yeah. Can you also be enrolled in a law school and don't go for your class and don't go for your lecture and don't read your book and you are praying and pass? If you say yes, you are insincere. He studies something different from law. So what is fundamental? Let me ask you a question. Can you write an exam tomorrow and not pray and pass? If you say no, why are Muslims stopping you? Why are Muslims stopping us? So what should happen? Either you have an exam, you've read your book, you've not read your book, you are a man of prayer. Do you understand that? Let me say it. Is this clear? Can you have an exam and be praying? Why are you praying? Is it because of the exam? So look at it. So, you see why I say we're insincere? Yeah? Can you go to the class and read your book, attend lecture, listen to area of concentration, and pass your exam and come out with an A? Yes. But can you stay with only God? God, I love you. I cling unto you. I know read your book and pass. So what are you supposed to do? Pray or read? You read and pray. Do you understand? You have to pray because you are a man who wants to pray. You don't pray to pass an exam you've not read. When you fail, the Holy Spirit is a great comforter. Allos Paracletos. He will comfort you and persuade you to repeat the year. Altogether, you see, you must not mix it up in your head. Yeah? You must be a consistent man of prayer. When you have challenges, yes, challenges should meet you praying. Not when challenges now come, you now put on your prayer garments. No. When you have some things you want to do in the future, can you pray? Can you go for, look at it. Can you go, look at it. We are very insincere people. Yeah? Same people who are saying they want to pray to a loving, all-caring God for visa interview and they pray, right? But when it's come to church, yeah, church starts by 9, they come after 9. When it's visa interview is 10, they are sitting down by the door by 5 and they are praying in tongues. For people. Interview is 10, you are sitting down by 5, you are praying in tongues. Church service is 9. You didn't come 3 hours before to pray in tongues. You come in after church has started. Yeah, this is a very instructive teaching. We must be careful the things we say, the things we imply. All together. Can you get a visa without praying? Can you get a visa? Can you want to go for a visa interview and not say God or Jesus once and you get your visa? Can you go for a visa interview and pray? You mention Jesus' name 20 times, mention God, then put fire 3 times. Can you say it and they still reject you? Yes. If you say no, then something you need to go and listen to this teaching from the first week in November. So which is more important? If they say put documents, you see, you know, some people do some things, you know, you blind. So I command the eyes. You have a document that is missing. So I command the eye of the immigration officer not to see it. Must not see it. Yeah. You know, Rasibi is smiling. He works in that field. Yeah? Yeah, your document, they say you should bring your credential. It's not complete. Say, no, don't worry, just package it. Put an entry on the it up. And say, anybody that this document come. You know, let's use the miracle. With all the miraculous things you've been doing for paper and document, you've not used sick of headache. You've not gone to the street and see someone that is lame and laid hands. To be blinding people's eyes. Not to see your document that is not complete. Are we together? Yeah. So Jesus is the revelation of God to us. We see what Jesus said about. Look at Luke 12 verse 13. Look at Luke 12 verse 13. Say, I'm a man of prayer. I'm a man of prayer. I'm a man of the word. You know, the Bible says pray always. Obey that. Not pray when you have issues alone. And some of you only pray when you come to church. Some of you, the only time you pray outside of church is when you have a problem. Nope. It's not the things that are done that way. You're a man of prayer. Challenges should meet you praying. Do you understand? Challenges should meet you pray. Because evil will happen in the world. No, I will not lie to you and promise you that evil will not happen in 2021. It's not possible. Who am I? I won't lie to you. You see, in the recent, you know, I cannot come and tell you that this year you will not lose any of your relatives. You might look at this pastor, you are a negative pastor. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Your grandmother is 99. She's tired of this life. She wants to go and rest. So, whether you pray, so that's why I say a lot of people lose faith in God because they misuse, abuse the purpose of prayer. What do I mean? Your friend is sick. He's on the hospital bed. You pray morning, night, and evening. The person still dies. God doesn't answer prayer. Have you seen people who are sick and you've prayed them back to life? It's seen everywhere. Have you seen people who are sick and you pray them and they die? there are so many factors involved in so many things on earth that some of us will exalt ourselves more than who we are. See, when you think about who you are in Christ, let it be to the degree of what the epistles teaches you. Are you a man who full of power? Yes, you must never forget that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Luke 12, 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Look at what Jesus said. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? So it means that Jesus is not involved in dividing wealth. Remember, we explained something. Jesus reveals God to mankind. Jesus reveals God to mankind. So the best of God we'll see is the best of who Jesus was. Yeah? What did Jesus say about him? Man, who made me a judge and divider over you? So does God divide wealth to people? Does God share wealth to people? Like I said, the moment you say God blessed you and did not bless me, a partial God. Are we together? As a partial God. Do miracles happen? Yes, so many factors determine miracle. Can you pray to get a contract and you will not get it? Let me ask you a question. Don't exalt yourself more than you are. Yeah? Two Christians are bidding for a contract. They are praying to the same Papa God. Who does Papa God want to answer? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Two people are bidding for a contract. They are both Christians, the same church, same church members. Who should God answer? Don't put God in a mix of all of this, a lot of things. Did I say they should not pray? If we heard me say they should not pray, let me see your hand. Did I say they should not pray? Why should they pray? They are men of prayer. Some things we call God's favor on our lives, if it is us, we will not like it. Yeah. Let's assume, for instance, you studied botany. Yeah? You studied botany, right? You want to apply to Shell. Did anybody study botany here? Okay, yeah. So you studied botany and you want to apply to Shell. You're praying to God to favor you to get to a position of project manager, or let's say you see an advert. They're looking for a job for site engineer or something. What do you call those people in Shell? Offshore people. Remember, what do you call those people that do... Let's say they're looking for a position for engineering, right? Engineer, someone that will go on site and go to the rig and everything. And you're praying God to favor you. Let me ask you a question. If you were the MD of Shell looking for who to recruit, and you see somebody with botany, and you know that you want your business to grow forward in life, will you pick that person? Can you look at the person's CV and feel empathy and pick the person? You can. It's possible. But you know, sometimes you will not be happy. I don't know why God is persuading me like this. Why persuading me like this? Did God force you? Are you to pray? You have to be a man of prayer. Are you to pray? You have to be a man of prayer. Does God answer prayer? It must not be hard to answer. Yes. Are we together? Jesus says, who made me a divider amongst you? So what? It means that Jesus is not an expert in wealth division. Who is Jesus? The revelation of God to mankind. So is God an expert in wealth division? How do you suppose that Jesus wanted them to sort out their issue? Look at verse 13 again, please. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. No, verse 13, sorry. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. What did Jesus say? Who made me a divider? How do you suppose that Jesus wanted them to sort out their issue? By going to the courts. See, sometimes you might have a problem with a brother in God's palace. Who made me a chief over the... Who made me a judge over dividing? Am I not... Yeah, but you know, in the real sense, you know, Paul also talked about something about how, you know, among saints, we should be able to sort out things amicably. They should not be allowing unbelievers to. But Jesus did not tell them go to the court. Eh? It just means that we are assuming. Look at verse 15. See what Jesus now says. He says, and he said unto him, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the things, in the abundance of the things he possesses. He possesses. Yeah? What is he saying? What did Paul teach this at? Some people teach that gain is godliness. Is that true? Yeah? What did he say? What did Paul say? Oh, ye man of God, flee from such. What did Jesus say? So look at it. Is Jesus' goal on earth to make anybody wealthy? Please, everyone look at me. Is Jesus' goal on earth to make anybody wealthy? If Jesus' goal was to make anybody wealthy, he would not say a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which possess it. Sorry. Are we together? See the parable he gave in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying what? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. Can you be a rich man and your ground brings forth plentiful? Yes. You see, let me ask another question, for instance. You are a farmer. Yeah? Look at it. You are a farmer. You are praying to God to send down rain. One is another person who processes maize. And what that person needs is for her to actually spread her maize under the sun so sun will heat it. Two of you are praying to the same God. Who should God answer? Who should God answer? Both of you. He will allow the rain to fall. Are we together? Are we together? What? The ground of a certain man brought forth plentiful. Did Jesus say the grace of God upon a certain man? Did Jesus say the grace of God upon a certain man? Yeah, so see, we must be sincere with ourselves. See, you know why what I'm teaching is difficult to absorb? Because man still has a place in their heart where they want to rather hold on to something that is hopeful or something that has hope. Think about it. Why do you think that you go to a church every year, they're saying this is your year? You've been there for 10 years. Yet you cannot feed yourself 3 times a day. Yet it is your year every year. And you still keep going there. Why do you keep going there? Because you still have a sense, I'd rather hold on to something than nothing. Because anything can happen, any day can happen. God will remember you. Who said God forgot you? Yeah? He says that the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. So the men that own the ground, they determine and influence the direction of financial flow on the earth. Men determine the... See, this thing I just said now is something a lot of us don't want to admit. You have a rich brother, a rich friend, a rich family friend, a rich uncle. Yeah? You need to just wake up one day and give you 20 million. If you had 100 million in your account, yeah? And God persuades you to give someone 20 million, will it be easy for you to do it? It'll be easy. Not really. Will it be easy? You have 100 million in your account, and God says, give that my brother 20 million. Will it be easy? See, when you start operating in millions, some things you think you are generous. Hey, you think I'm generous? See, hey, people of God, when you start counting millions and millions that you got by hard labor, you know, a lot of us, let me say this, people of God, I'll address this next one. Don't be one who has too much sense of entitlement. You want to do wedding, somebody gives you 5,000 naira. You are helping the person who is what? That's covetousness. There's no other better explanation to that. Somebody give you 5,000, he says it's only 5 he can remove from his pocket. He look at it, owe me 5. Is it the one that asked you to go and marry? Did he send you? Is it a stakeholder in your decision? When you marry him, is he sharing your wife with you? Eh? You say, well, madam, go to his place for 1 week. 1 week, just do that. Yeah, a lot of us in Nigeria have a sense of entitlement. It is terrible. It's terrible. You're working in an office. Yeah, they are paying. You know that they are giving 5 billion. You get 5 billion every month. They're giving 15,000. The company deems you fit to collect 15. If you don't want, you what? You leave. Every week, say my transportation is 15,000. If your transportation every week is 15,000, and you're using boats, what do? You step down. Along. Are we together? Thank God. Thank God it's along. Thank God you are going along. Yeah, you are going along the road. So when you are going, you prophesy your cars. Yeah, I'm going to drive my car around this road. Yeah, but really, in the real sense, that sense of entitlement. When somebody gives you a gift, it is a gift. Receive it with thanksgiving. Thank them very well. See, no matter how much you give me, no matter how much you give me, you know the truth. Let me not say this thing now because it's tricky. It's tricky. Because your life is a pleasure. I'm telling you the truth. It's tricky. There's a way somebody will give you 1 million. It's not the same thank you will give somebody that's giving. It's tricky. I'm telling you. You know, but I try in my mind to make sure that it is, I don't do more. What I mean is that if you give me 10,000 naira today and give me 1 million tomorrow, I don't pray for you more than I pray for you. I don't allow your money influence how you invoke my heart. Are we together? You know, so, you know, I gave an example. You see, the pastor, you say, this is a Sitsoin, doesn't Sitsoin, Sitsoin is not taught in the Bible. Yeah, that's it. But there's a way you can get your pastor to provoke your pastor and he will declare. Yeah, you know, I get one person, you are teaching Sitsoin and you're hiding. You're hiding back door, you're teaching Sitsoin. If I come here and tell Sister Pleasant, she met me on Sunday last week. I said she wanted a new job. And I said, God sees your heart. Sister Pleasant, before she left, she gave me her whole salary for January, first fruits. I looked at Sister Pleasant and I said, Sister Pleasant, anywhere you go, shall Pleasant follow you. If I be a man from God, if I be sent from God, you'll be using your anointing to invoke material things. If I be a man of God, you never use if I be a man of God. Look at what Peter and John did on the gate now. Look at us. Yeah? That's what you should use if I be a man of God. If I be a man, Sister Pleasant, before 3 days. The company you least expect. Can I meet Sister Pleasant today and tell you that before 3 days you'll get a job that will actually be financial? Yes. What should not influence that prophecy is what she gives me. The moment I come to you and say, Sister Pleasant gave me on Sunday and Wednesday she got a job. What am I saying to Sister Esther subconsciously? Come and drop your own. So I've said come and drop your own without saying it. You to Sister Esther now will be on. Sister Esther will finish church. She has only 15,000 in her account. She will walk towards the door. One spirit will tell her go back. No, pastor has taught generosity. He will go again. Go back. She will now move close the door. Oh, pastor has said, don't so sweet. She will go again. That spirit you are telling that is telling you go back. It's not the spirit of God, though. It is the spirit of the testimony you heard. When I get to the door again, I said, but this woman saw 3 days. If I do today, Wednesday. Thursday morning. Pastor, you know what? See, this is my transfer for this week. You know, that's I you know what we say? I key into it. I key into Sister Pleasant's blessing. I key. Yeah? If it's not key, what do you use? Is tap. I tap into it. Oh yes, what you cannot do does not exist. You know, I key. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a troublemaker, huh? Don't mind me. And you key into it. I've subconsciously taught you Sitsoin without saying it. Are we together? Check it. A lot of people who teach sound doctrine and go back from sound doctrine is because they don't have a source of income. I've looked at it. Yeah, of its purpose. What is its purpose? It's supposed to build the house of prayer. What were they doing? Merchandise. What do we do in church today? Pastor comes and teaches 12 breakthrough keys. 12 financial freedom keys. 12 financial these keys. Yeah? The house that should be spurring you to pray is spurring you to go back to the world to go and what? Make more money. What do you now say are very interesting people do? They go out to church to work on Monday, they resume late. Work starts 8, you get there by 8. You go to your private room and you are praying. Why are you praying? Why are you praying? There's work to be done. You are saying, I need to commune with my God. When you are in church, they're teaching you what you should do in the office. Now you are in the office, you are doing what you're supposed to be doing in the church. You are a robber. How are you a robber? You are robbing the purpose of each. Yeah? Even when you are, see, the fact that we have the Holy Ghost in us here, yeah, we don't have to, because we talk, it means that you can be walking and be typing and be speaking under, in tongues under your breath. Face mask has an advantage also. Just plug one ear, please. You think you are singing song. Or you identify yourself, building up yourself in the most holy faith by praying the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but when you start doing like those ones who say, work is starting by 8, you get there by 8, you have to do 30 minutes prayer. When you're not going to start saying in the morning, in the morning, you see, this is what we'll try to end. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. Who is that? Paul writing to Timothy. Charge them that are rich in this world, yeah, that they be not high minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What are the all things he gives us richly to enjoy? Verse 18. That they do good. We have the riches of doing good. What did Paul call it in 2 Corinthians 8? Riches of liberality. So the riches that they do good, that they be rich in good works. What did he call riches in good works in 2 Corinthians? Liberality. Yeah? Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That is riches to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, riches to God is not in how you amass, it is in how you give. That's important, right? Riches to God is not in how you amass, it is how you give. When you go to the business world, you are making money, yes, you are amassing it by the business structure already in place. Yeah? But riches to God is seen in how you distribute, where you communicate.
Look at Revelations. Revelations 3, 17. Revelations 3, verse 17.
It says, because thou, look at verse 16, 15. This is when, you know, John was coding those the people to the churches. I know thy works. Look at verse 14, sorry. Look at what it says. Let's read the scripture together. 1, 2, 3, go. So what is your nether cold nor hot? No scripture is not saying. Okay, we explain that something. Yeah, this scripture is not saying to my dad. Yeah, you're neither cold nor hot. He explains it in verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Is that saying you will lose your salvation? No, no. It's touching about something. Look at verse 17 qualifies it. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Let me now tell you something. What was the church of Laodicea saying? I am rich by the grace of God, in quotes. What is John doing? He's coding them. So it means that as Christians, you don't boast in material riches. Are we together? What did Jesus say? A man's life consisted not in the things which he possesses. What is John saying? He says, because thou sayest, I am rich, I am increased in goods. What were they doing? They were teaching that gain is godliness. Is that true? Yeah? Is that not true? They were teaching that gain is godliness. He says, I'm rich, I've increased in goods. Yeah? Is he saying don't be rich? Is he saying don't be increased in goods? No. It is that is what they were teaching. So, John is calling the pastor. He says to the angel of the Laodicea church, the word there, angel, is the word, the messenger, the pastor of the church, the bishop of the church. He's not saying that every church has one angel with wing. No. The angel of my commission. No. That's animal. That's dove. Yeah? Remember, we've taught that already. There was no dove on the head of Jesus. Doesn't make any sense. When Jesus is not dirty, though we just fly through and come and say that the Holy Ghost. No, he said descended like his figure of speech. Yeah, how did John the Baptist know that this is my beloved son? It was from the utterances of Jesus. Are we together? And Jesus was praying, John heard what he was praying, and by that utterance, he heard, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased hearing. Who was talking? There was no sound in the sky. Beautiful. Yeah, so he says that, and increase with the goods, and have need of nothing. Is it wrong to be rich? No. Is it wrong to increase in goods? No. Is it wrong not to have needs of anything? No. Yeah? Is it wrong for you to be satisfied? Is it wrong for you to be comfortable? No. But what is wrong about it is when you are as a church, you are teaching that as emphasis. Yeah? In teaching that, you are subconsciously teaching that what? Gain is godliness. Gain with godliness is reward. Godliness and commandment is great. What did he say before? Some people teach that what? Gain is godliness. Right? That's what they're teaching. Yeah? Knowest not thou art rich. So, remember in Matthew's narrative, the rich man that was saying, the rich man that Jesus said that he was rich, the setting ground of a rich man brought for plentiful. What did he say at the end of that verse? Thou art a fool. Thou art not rich unto God. Is that similar to what is happening here? This is what he says. He says that we have nothing. What did the instruction now say? Knowest not that thou art rich? Were they rich physically? In fact, they were boasting on the fact that they were not rich. What did he call them? You are wretched. And miserable. And poor. What were they boasting about? They were boasting about the fact that they were not poor. Do you understand? The church doesn't boast on material things. The church doesn't boast on material things. Sometimes what we call testimony time is actually boasting material things. You have testimony there and keep. What are they calling? No, none of them will come and say, I got on the street yesterday and got three people saved. I got this one here. Is that not a testimony? See, let me say this thing. If the only thing you are thanking God for is the work of salvation, yeah, you are not ungrateful. Do you hear that? What I said is ambiguous. If the only thing you are thanking God for your entire life is that you are righteous, you are not ungrateful. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it means you can come to the church at the end of the year and you are only thanking God for salvation. I thank God. I thank God was able to keep me. I did not die this year. Corona did not come close to me. Some of you that thank God for that, their siblings have corona now. Some of them, I won't thank God for it. So what do you want to do in that time?
boast about things material at all. At all. If you are not grateful, you are grateful. Okay? If you are only grateful for salvation, that is enough. That's the only thanksgiving we see in scriptures. From Matthew to Revelation. Even the people that were saying, you know, some people would have been coming to you and saying, praise the Lord, praise Master Jesus. I'm quiet, just give me some songs then. I would just worship God as well before I go into my testimony. Nothing going to emulation. I want to thank God for, you know, that was a contract that I was just working on. If you ask them, the contract that they won, they gave offering. Yeah, that's a new word now, premium. In the secular world, it's called premium. Premium. Yeah, I want to thank God. You know, I've increased in goods this year. 2020-21 was the year where, you know, pastor says a year of breaking through. Yes, sins, I broke through. Look at your neighbor and say, will you break through next year? Yeah? What did the instructor say? You are wretched. See, what should happen in a church like that is after the man finished the system, pastor should call him like, okay, you are wretched. You are poor. Yeah, that's if we don't see your works in the church. Yeah? You are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable. In fact, you are blind, you are naked. Is that not the scolding? What? Simply because they said I'm rich. Let me say it again. If it's only salvation and righteousness you are giving God thanks for, you have done well and you are doing well. Let me say this way. It means that you can go throughout all your entire life and not thank God for any other thing and you are doing scriptures. Am I saying don't thank God for other things? Did you hear me say that just now? But if you go through your years on earth and you thank God for that righteousness alone, you have done well. So when you say, thank God for this, then now to your testimony. If you finish thanking God for salvation, so somebody belittles it as in now to your testimony. 2 days ago. Okay. You know. That's what I was sharing one testimony one day. They went for camp meeting. And church, all of them were coming in the same bus. They think that bus had accident. All of them died, apart from her. She didn't know what she was saying. So that's why we need to be taught well. Because of what they taught her, she came out and shared testimony. I thank God. In the bus, all of them died. They said to me, I want to thank the God of my pastor. Because the pastor can only save one. Only save one, cannot save the immunity. Don't thank God for the God of my heart. You know, I called on his name. Others were calling on. I will not call on his name. I end up in shame. No way. You are my God. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Were they not saying they were rich? Is that what they were saying? What is scolding them? You are poor. Thou mayest be rich and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with thy slave, and mayest thou see. Verse 19. We'll pay attention to the Revelation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chastise, be zealous therefore and repent. What would their zealousness be? In being ready to communicate and willing to distribute. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know, we pay attention to Luke 26 to 38, where it says, give shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. It's not talking about if you give God. Are we together? Yeah. A lot of us are giving to God and there's nothing shaking together. Talking about pressing over and running over. Talking about pressing down, shaking together. Nothing is about that to our lives. Yeah. You give as an end in itself. Let's end in Acts. This is final ending. Acts 8:18. I'm closing my iPad now. Look at Acts 8 verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the apostle, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Verse 19. Saying, give me also this power, that whosoever I lay my hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He says, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 19, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perishes with you. Do you suppose that at this time Peter had needs? Do you suppose that Peter had needs? Yes, now, he probably had needs, because he was only fishing. That's the best we know. What did Peter say? Your money perishes. You know what it means? To hell with you and your money. For thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So you don't purchase gifts of God with money. So if you are here, we've been here, we've been there together. You know, when you finish, when the pastor finishes ministry, you're going to tap. No. When the pastor finishes ministry, you give him as a gift, not as a seed. Do you get that? As an end in itself.
What did he say? Your money prayer. So, thank God it never happens here. Yeah, imagine you come and meet me after I operate in the gifts of knowledge, gifts of the spirit. Pastor, I want to operate on that unction in your life. Pastor, this is a seed. Kneel down. You know what I'll tell you? Stand up. Go and listen to concerning spirituals. Listen, you might not have been in church when I taught it. Go and listen to concerning. Now, Pastor, you know, I saw that as you minister in the flow, I saw three angels at your back. I need that. Okay. Go and listen to concerning spirituals. Yeah? He says, thy money perishes with you. Thou hast taught that the gift. So we need more men who will look and say, your money perishes with you. Before 11, the pastor, you have speed. Pastor, there's speed on your side. Yeah. So, but Peter said unto them, thy money perishes. We need more men who will say, your money perishes with you. I want to be such a man that even though I have immediate needs, I'll not be tempted. Yeah, that's where contentment comes in. Because if I'm a man who is working and laboring and I have a salary, for instance, or a source of income for, yeah, no matter what you give me, will not make me. Yeah, in as much as yes, you can. You know, the money they dash you, you spend it anyhow. Yeah, the money they give you that I didn't work for, you spend it anyhow. You know, but you must be one who be content. Yeah. You don't just buy things. You have 10 shoes. You are buying 3 more every month. Yeah. And the rule says, why are you laughing? I'll talk it to you. Okay. Yeah, you have 10 shoes, you're buying 3 every month. You're adding to your shoes. You know, every 3 months, you're asking shoemaker to be building your shoe rack. Instead of you to have 10, you see somebody is only wearing one throughout the year. Sir, what size? Or you bring it to the leadership and say, so they don't, you know, sometimes you might not necessarily, yeah, the apostolic way of giving, really, is actually bringing it to the face of the apostles and they distribute to those who have needs. Yeah, do you know why that is? Do you know why it is that way? Because a lot of people have a sense of idolizing you because of what you give to them. If Brashegu, for instance, is the one that's always paying, giving you money every week, every day you open that door and you walk into the church and you don't see him, you will not be happy. Any day, that's why the same thing applies to when you are going home. Yeah? When you come to church, come to church with your pocket, with your transport money. So in case the person you are looking for, he absconds or he's not around, you will get home. Yeah, so like I was saying, you know, when you bring it to the apostles' feet, is a doctrinal way of sharing things amongst him. Yeah, there must be order. You just look around and say, this is my clothes, I don't like it again. Right, you come and take it. No, it is you bring it to the leadership. Yeah, this is what I have to give. Let's share amongst the brethren. If you know that is your clothes, that's your business. Yeah. The moment you want to give so that they can know you are not giving generously. The moment you are giving so that they can know you, the highest giver. We will never have that in God's palace. Our elders, the deacons, they will sit in there. Evangelists, they don't come for prayer, they don't come for. Yeah, you want to buy your way into the things of God? No, you don't. So this month we're going to draw our curtain here. This month, we've been teaching about generosity. And we've seen that giving is something that should be done from a gracious heart. There is no saint on earth that lacks the ability of giving. Are we together? Not a single saint on earth lacks the ability of giving. But a lot of saints don't pay attention to that ability in them. Are we together? If they say, I give myself to the things of God. I give myself.